This meeting is being recorded. President Brooks is visiting her new grandson and is joining us via cell phone. Therefore, Vice President Boren will preside over the meeting. Once Vice President Boren asks me to call the roll, indicate you are here as well as give permission to record by verbally stating here, permission to record.
I call the July 6, 2021 Committee of the Whole meeting of Glencoe Park District in order. Lisa, please call the roll in at the time.
Great. 7:01. Member Boren?
Yes.
Member Kobe?
Here.
Member Schneider?
Here.
Chair Brooks?
Here for the meeting record.
Thank you.
It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. And should we get any
emails? None came in. I'm going to check real quick, make sure none came in the last. Nope. We're good.
Okay. So we're going to discuss Cock Park and the pathway lighting.
Yes. As you know, Cock Park gazebo and pathway lighting is under discussion to determine the length we'll keep the lights open. The park's almost complete. I don't know if you were out there for 4th of July and how beautiful it looked. Chris and his team did an amazing job getting that. That grass looking so good with this drought we've been having. So thank you for that. But anyways, as you know, we have a gazebo that we have a light in, and then we have the lights that will be installed in along the pathway. They're not there yet. They're still not here. In the past, we had lights in that park, and they were taken down during phase one because they were not working properly, and they're kind of dangerous, in fact. After we took them out and the park was all done, there was a lot of people calling and asking for those lights to be reestablished. So the board just chose to put the lights back in, but they are fixtures that are dark sky compliant. So that's given for outdoor light fixtures, meaning specific requirements to minimize light pollution, light trespass, glare, and offensive light sources. So there's a lot of debate back and forth whether lights are a deterrent to crime or whether they're not. It's anecdotal. There's really no proof either way. We have parks that are fully lit, and we still have kids go down and party, and then we have parks that are totally dark. Like Berlin, for example, we find evidence of people, I shouldn't say kids, anybody, using those as after hours. So we see both sides of it. We do know that we have just some things to point out to you for consideration. And there's no, so really, your decision comes to it, there's no right or wrong answer to this. So Hawk Park is nestled in the neighborhood. There is a curfew for Glencoe youth. It's 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. Sunday through Thursday and 12:01 to 6 a.m. Friday through Saturday. The last Metro train arrives at Glencoe at 11:16 p.m. The train before that is 10:16. Ravinia, Rider Cedar, restaurants in Glencoe are open late. And we know that a lot of people in town walk to those destinations when coming and going from Glencoe. So based on these facts, the staff recommends considering activated lights by 6 a.m. for the morning commuters, and then either 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., whichever your decision. We don't think they should really be turned off prior to 10 p.m. though. But again, it's up to the board to decide. So I throw it to you.
So I'll comment, since I was the one who raised it. One point, and I looked it up in the paper, it's still there. I think it's a really good practice for us to try to, as well run as we are, we have to look a little further and say, are there situations where we might be getting kids into a situation where someone might call the police on them, and then they end up with a criminal record? Now, my understanding, I looked it up, it's still in the paper, four and a half years ago. There were three kids downtown at like 10 o'clock at night. They were from Winnetka, Wilmette, and then one from Glencoe, now an Eagle Scout. They did an illegal U-turn. The police stopped them. And they said, OK, get out of the car. They searched it. They found marijuana. All three kids were charged with marijuana possession. And the mother said, why are you creating a record for them? We said it was published. And they said, the village police said, well, we just keep it on the record for 6 months, and if they don't get arrested again, we take it off our record. But It's still in the paper. You can look it up. So I don't think anyone wants their children to end up being published before going to college or graduation for having been arrested for something. And so if we can avoid situations where we might attract kids into the park or anywhere where the police might arrest them, I was amazed that they released this all to the press. But my thought is, my personal thought was, 10 o'clock at work, well, that would be consistent with Lakefront Park, or the second to last train comes in at 10:16, so maybe 10:30, 11 would work as well, but at some point, you may start to get kids into the park, and then they stay there, and other neighbors may be going to bed more like 10:30, but I agree with Lisa, 10 to 11 seems to be the window, and I agree with that.
I don't have an opinion. I think 10 or 11 is a staff decision. I abstain.
I think, I am thankful you gave the rationale because but it's well thought out by every possible scenario. When people do get off the train, I think they probably would want life. So again, I do leave that to you guys. I don't think there's a problem until it is a problem. So I don't think we should. I don't personally think this is like an issue. So whatever you think. But when I get off the train, I prefer to let it to the end. So I would go at least to 10:30.
Lisa?
Yes, thank you. Principal Casey staff was presenting that had to be at the meeting. I do appreciate it, especially to report on Fernian. As you would, I would expect you to kindly and very well. So thank you for that. And Bart, I understand your comments that does they for the resume. I think you're being very reasonable and saying 10 or 11 is too good. All of us agree. Michael, I do agree this is a staff decision. I don't think it's the kind of thing we typically weigh in on, and your explanation staff in the packet was very balanced and really kind of educational for me, so I would concur with 10:30 or 11 to try to grab those last people who might be wandering home after being in town or getting off that 10:15 train, and if it turns out we have a problem, we can staff
just
the, after the fact, I'm sure you can
adjust
the lights
when
you have
one. I'd say the biggest area we have a problem, we don't have lights. So,
yeah. It's true.
The biggest area we've had a lot of issues there, and we don't have lights, and we've had a lot of vandalism. So.
And Berlin.
So it sounds like we're all in agreement.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay. So anywhere between 10:30 and 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Any other discussion? All right. Okay, I'm moving on to discussion on potential OSLI grant, if that's okay. All right, so I sent you all the email that they announced there's going to be another OSLI grant. And again, with OSLI grants, they tend to do really fast turnarounds. We kind of got the heads up. Chris has a great relationship with the IDNR. And about a month ago, they gave us a heads up that this may be happening. So we started to research and look at our capital projects to see what plans, what projects, deferred maintenance we would look at to possibly apply for an OSLI grant, and if we had the funds to do so. So that's what we did. We went to the drawing board and looked at what could we do. Remember, OSLI for maybe Bart or anybody else, OSLI is $400,000, and then they matched to $400,000. And they needed quite a few different amenities to really make an OSLI grant, appealing. So they looked for something with nature, something with walking trails, sports, what else?
It has to be, they're looking for the biggest bang for their buck. So of course it's multi-generational assets, it's accessibility, it's things that are more than just one specific use. It's not, we don't want to just do one particular thing. They want to see all the different age groups, different genders, all different targets, where they can really get the biggest bang for the Department of Natural Resources bucks.
Exactly.
Well, they did the trail. That was our trail grant.
So OSLED was the playground.
It was the playground, not the
And that was IDNR.
Correct. So we did receive a trail grant from the IDNR, but we received a separate grant for Duke Park from the IDNR, which was the open space land acquisition and development grant, which is OSLED.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it was $200,000.
We got a $200,000 trail grant from the IDNR, a $667,000 grant from IDOT, and a $400,000 grant from the playground from IDOT, from IDNR.
Okay.
So when we did the $400,000
grant. Yes. Exactly. So when we looked, at our projects, we went through what deferred maintenance do we have on our list, and what would make an attractive project. And so I'm going to throw it to Chris to talk a little bit about WES and our ideas for there and why we think it makes an attractive project.
So I have some character images here, and any of you guys who have been out to WES know that it's some of the things at the park aren't in the best shape. So we have WES School here. Just for discussion purposes, our property is, imagine this little hand, everything to the left here. So really it's designing a grant that you know can win, because there's no point in going through the process if you're not putting in a project that you think you're going to win. So looking at the athletic fields in particular, baseball field here, we have a grass infield baseball field. It's a pony size field, which is currently sized for 7th and 8th graders. In Glencoe, that's the age of the least participation in youth baseball. So one of the things we'd be looking to do is to bring in and make the infield itself synthetic turf. So imagine this area, I'm trying to draw on this, but this area here being synthetic turf. So the idea behind that is then it becomes a multi-use field. You can move the bases up and down. You can play all the way from kindergarten up to 8th grade on the field. You can play adults. You can play softball. You have what's called a movable mound, so you move the mound up and back and forth. It would allow us to make the field much, much more usable, and it would mean the investment would be available for many, many different groups of residents beyond just 7th and 8th grade boys baseball. One of the other items we want to look at in this process is drainage. This field in particular, obviously not this year, but in previous years we do have had some significant problems with flooding in this area here, and also the areas behind the baseball field. It's made the field unusable in the spring and the fall for soccer and baseball. Other things to consider include a walking loop. So we do not have a sidewalk on Cherry Tree Lane, which means that our entire field is not ADA accessible. So one of the things that we'd have to look at in an OSLED grant is making this amenity ADA accessible. So anything we build has to meet current codes, which would mean we're going to have a sidewalk coming from over here all the way up, and that gives us the opportunity to connect that sidewalk around and give ourselves a walking loop like we have here at Taketh, which we know that the school has expressed interest in for PE. Depending on the material we choose for it, we'll determine the amount of time we can use it during the year. Other things to consider include the tennis courts as well. There's some shots. This is the K baseball field, which is the kindergarten field. These aren't great shots, but it's not in great shape. The pony field itself, the backstop, the field, it's all from the mid-90s. It's in pretty tough shape. We've done a couple of facelifts out there, replaced sections of fence, added clay to the infield, but it's really just been bandages, trying to kind of move the field along to keep it playable and safe. Here's some pictures of the tennis court. You can see that these are not great photos. This is taken last week, so this tennis court is scheduled for patching this year. So basically what a patch is they come in and route out the cracks, they put sand in there, they put tape over it, a special tape obviously, and then they repaint the whole tennis court. It's called a color coat and crack fill. It's really a band-aid at the point that we're at right now. The majority of our tennis courts are all starting to move from the age of routine maintenance to really starting to think about replacement down the line. We think West is a good place to start. One, because of the proximity to the school. Again, the additional multi-use of PE. There's also parking there as well. One of the things we think it would be valuable to explore would be converting one or two of the courts to pickleball. We know that that's a huge draw in the community right now. Again, it's a multi-generational asset. So just kind of going through some of the things that we highlighted that we think would make this a competitive grant would be replacement of the tennis courts, upgrades to the pony baseball field backstop to include synthetic turf, which would make it a multi-use field. It would stop just being a baseball field. an updated drinking fountain, improved park field and drainage, replacement of the existing tennis courts, and the walking loop. As Lisa indicated, we have met with professional staff from District 35, and they believe that this project aligns with their goals for the site as well, so we would be able to have a multi-unit of government cost share on the project, which allows us to leverage other funding to improve our property as well.
So we knew we couldn't make all those improvements and make an attractive grant unless we brought District 35 in. Because while you think $800,000 goes a long way, it really doesn't. As you've learned, Bart, you'll learn very fast. So we knew we had to leverage their support for additional $400,000 matching to make this a really attractive grant and bring an asset that we have on this side of town over there, which is the walking loops. We found that the one here at Take-Up is extremely popular, and when the school heard that, they were very excited about that opportunity for school use. So that was very attractive to them. On top of that, separate from the grant, the school district wants to do some other improvements on their property that we will talk about later, but it won't be part of the grant, but it'll help actually the whole community kind of, you know, they'll invest in this whole property, which really needs some love, I guess you could say. The infield synthetic turf, it's really been really new within the last, I would say, 4 years. More and more park districts are doing it. You used to think about turf fields and think you have to do the whole thing. And now the infield turf is kind of a game changer for us. And very exciting to have a possibility of being able to use it for multi sports. We know that sometimes that baseball, when they have the lower levels, they just don't have enough time. Berlin's getting so used because that's the prime age group that plays at that field is getting overused. We have a feeling that I would be coming back in when we do capital projects in years to come and recommending to, you know, all the baseball fields to infield turf. Because it'll end up being so usable. But this will be our test site. And we know other park districts who have been very successful in this.
So one of the things, great. To Lisa's point, that I think is important to note is the school district understands that, as we know, synthetic turf has a lifespan. So if you're putting it in, you have to have a plan to replace it in 10 years, depending on the wear. They're on board with a 50% match when it comes time to replace it with us. So it's really acknowledging that they take some ownership over the asset even though it's on our property, which is similar to what we did here with the playground as well. So if you guys can remember, this was a shared project where we funded 50%, they funded 50%, and we share the cost of maintaining it. So,
yeah.
But go ahead, Lisa, sorry.
So now we're talking about landscape architects. So ultimately, while we love them and look at all the great projects they did, they're kind of transitioning out of full work mode, I guess you can say. So that firm is a little bit in flux. So Hitchcock is was the architect we used for our master plan 8 years ago when I came, and they did a lot of our projects. They were a finalist when we were interviewing new landscape architecture firms, and they do a wonderful job. They also have been very successful in getting grants, as a grant, what is it, 39
out of their last 40 submissions have won a grant.
No guarantee, but they do these well, and they'll help us submit a great grant project, and they know what will win or what it won't. We really don't have time to interview or go out and look at other architects, because this is a really short turnaround. Not to mention, Hitchcock is a great firm.
Do you want to talk about
with great principles. What?
Do you want to just talk about timeline briefly? That's really
yeah.
So to Lisa's point, we've just prepared a slide here. The grants are going to be due September 1st. So to Lisa's point, we have a little bit of work to do, and the full RFP process to go out for a consultant is just not doable under this timeline. So we really have to decide if we want to pursue the grant, that really means going with somebody that we know or we've worked with in the past.
And knows our properties.
And knows our properties and our communities.
And our clientele, yeah. So that's what we have for you. So this is all those amenities except for the walking loop are all scheduled in our deferred maintenance. Thank you, Chris. I lost that word. So they're all in there. Having a hard time trying words today. So they're all in there except for the walking trail, and that's where the school district comes in to fund that portion of it. We really need to look at adding pickleball courts. Our classes are going crazy, and that's probably one of the number one calls we get is a permanent pickleball court.
So it would be an actual court, not just the
right. It would be an actual, yeah. We would recommend doing actual courts so that those nets would be permanent set up. Yeah. So I think you what, you get how many courts in one tennis court usually?
You can usually do two.
Yeah.
Two full, so if we lose one doubles court, which again, we know we have many doubles courts, we could accommodate two permanent pickleball courts in that same location.
And then still have two tennis courts. So.
I did a brief survey before coming into the state. I'm like 30.
I love that.
But I have a lot of
a marketing person's like worst nightmare.
I have a lot of tennis friends, people friends. So, and I just said, what's your main court that you play on? And only one person said that.
Really?
Okay. So, I was just, you know, yeah. I mean, that means nothing. But
yeah,
we have a lot of
all live by Watts.
They all live different places, but I feel like that's a good location, and we know from the feedback, and we know from so many residents that have asked for it, so I think that's a great thing.
And they can also use it for school to teach that, so that's it.
West has been historically our tennis, other than Lakefront, which we know is kind of a special circumstance with the turf there, West is been the court that we've had that's kind of been at the lowest level, where Central's been at the highest level. So we see our most competitive play at Central, leagues, community groups, mm-hmm. and then it kind of filters on down. We do majority of our programming at Watts.
Watts, correct.
So
convenient. Central's convenient, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, there's a bathroom there, and the water, and all that kind of stuff.
And it's not to say eventually, if pickleball really keeps on going gangbusters, that we may not convert other ones too. So if we get three tennis courts, who's to say we're not going to do two tennis courts and two pickleball courts to really meet that need? That pickleball is just going crazy for the actually anybody 50 and older. It's just really popular sport.
We're not digging the ground though 2 years, or a year and a half.
We have time to plan.
Right.
We just want to know if this is a concept.
No, I'm saying like the details of like two pickleboards and two tennis and four and one.
We have time for that. You're right. So really what I need from you to say is, do you want us to do this, pursue this, on that grant? And if so, we'll bring it probably in July, an action item. What would the wording be on that action item?
So the board has to formally, via resolution, direct Lisa to sign the grant agreement. So basically, once we sign the grant agreement, we're heading down the road of spending the money, but we're not spending the money. So to Michael's point, we're basically, if the board directs Lisa via a resolution to sign the grant agreement, we're effectively, at a minimum 25 months, something like that, away, 20 months
away.
Yeah,
but what we are saying is we're going to do a master plan for the site. We are going to spend that money, which is about $25,000.
Well, Hitchcock has proposed doing the plan. They're very motivated to get back in front of the board in Glencoe, and they have proposed doing the plan for about $20,000, of which the school district has agreed to pay for half. So $10,000 cost to us.
How much is that, when you say you have to replace that turf, just an estimate of how much that
is? Like 10 years?
It's
about 60, 70, right?
Yeah, 60, 70. I would say the days of synthetic turf infields being $1 million are over. I mean, if you look at what we've done at Berlin, we resided the infield. So $30,000, we did that after having the field 4 or 5 years. So if you think over a 10-year period, you might have to do that three times. I think we're going to be right on at $100,000 to $120,000 to replace it, which is what we're going to be spending anyway if we were to build a new field there.
Okay. I just remember when we asked about the Taker Field, it was way higher. So
it was.
It was like $1 million.
It was, because that's back when the only thought was you do the whole field. Now they're understanding the park districts can't afford the whole field. And so now they're really proving infield is what we really need to work on, because that's where most of the games get canceled, because of the soggy infield. If you have a little soggy outfield, you can still play the game. But when you have when you're sinking in the infield, you can't. So that's what it's proven to work. Districts are doing their major complexes with just infield now. So that's a good question.
I'm assuming that the field will get more use because you can resize it.
Correct.
So there'll be more people who had try to schedule it at Central School or whatever, or they become over here.
Okay,
we can spread out the
load off our other grass infields. I mean, Berlin is designed for Mustang, which is what, third and fourth grade. Mm-hmm. We're playing basically kindergarten through fourth grade there, which is we get these huge teardrop pitching mounds because they are moving the kids up and down. It's not ideal, but it's putting a lot of extra wear and tear on the field. That if we had something like this at whichever site we chose, it would take that load off.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Mayor Hitchcock was kind of not as creative, but for this.
This isn't a creative.
Right, yeah. So that makes me comfortable because it's not, we're not looking for that.
And a lot of our upcoming projects in the next couple of years, they're not what we call creative projects, they're replacing our assets.
Yes, that makes sense.
Hitchcock can be very creative. We kind of held him back before because we wanted to keep him on budget. At the beginning, we didn't have much money. So I think you can see that they could be very creative if we let them loose, I guess. Yes, Lisa?
I will say that, first of all, I'm hopeful that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and assuming that the artificial turf rules should be more consistent in the playability and physical conditions.
Correct.
So that, because I know staff is a terrible trainer, staff is continually disappointing the users because of having to go out there, and it's like a big thing to really have to deal with, you know, a regular baseball and not doing it. So I'm hopeful that this will reduce all of that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's important. It's not a dome.
It's not a dome.
You know, it's not 100% of the time, but it's going to be a drastic, vast, exponential improvement over what we have out there. Lisa, I think as we talk about Berlin, I think it's important to note that with the grant application, we're really going to focus on municipally appropriate finishes.
Right.
We have a lot of very, very high-end finishes at Berlin. Limestone veneers, yes. Shake roofs, you know, custom detailed concrete. You know, I think if we're going to really go in for a grant, I think we're going to see more of a municipally appropriate ball field. We won't have those embellishments, at least in the grant agreement.
Correct.
For the grant application.
Just one more quick thing. I was sort of instrumental in advocating for a change from Hitchcock to a design firm that was more creative, and I think it happened to be the right thing at the right time because we had some projects that required a lot of creative energy. I feel that staff recommending sending back to Hitchcock is about the perfect timing for it. This sounds to me like a more athletic
centered type of project that I
think Hitchcock would excel at, and Staff is a big content Hitchcock, and I've never worked with them, but I'm just as happy to be back to this project. So I think it's a good thing.
All right, so what do you
think? My only other comment is, it's accelerated, so the neighbors won't know about it, and I just want to learn from our mistakes in the past.
Exactly.
Do whatever we can to reach out.
So what we would do is that, obviously, to do Hitchcock agreement, it's in my purchase authority, but of course I want consensus. In July, we'll do that action item to prove to you, the board allowing me to sign the grant agreement. From that point on, they're going to start designing after tonight's meeting if they're all in consensus. From there, what we'll do is we'll make sure that we have a community meeting in the August committee meeting that this will be dedicated to, and letters will be sent to everybody in that area. We'll post it on social media. We'll put it in our website. We'll put signs in the park. So we'll do all that to make sure word gets out. We don't think we'll have design for the July 4 meeting, or I would have done that to make sure we have two. And again, this will be to submit the grant. We can always tweak things after the fact. It just can't be big item changes, right?
So yeah, we can't go from having a synthetic turf baseball field to an ice rink.
Right.
You can say
we do pickleball / tennis courts, yes. And then we can have that debate of how many of those. You know, I think it would be less controversial because it's replacing existing.
Yeah.
I think the only thing new is a walking trail.
What's that like?
Which most residents really like that. It's in the neighborhoods, so they don't have sidewalks.
And the sidewalk, which, right, when you don't have a sidewalk, you appreciate when you get it.
Yeah.
Basic question about the turf, and I don't follow baseball. It sounds like this has been around for quite a while, and I'm assuming that you can, you know, go for a ball and slide on it and not get burned, and that it's got some cushion, so it's not...
You generally aren't sliding on those parts, right?
In the infield.
The line between The base running is done on dirt, usually. It's not done on
stick. Oh, I was thinking of like the infielders or somebody going for a ball and trying to catch it.
Oh, yeah.
The main thing would be sliding into a base.
Right, that's what you said. Okay. Bonica has this on there.
Right, okay.
And they're lacrosse
football. Okay. So this is like well proven and there's no...
Yes.
People
would rather have that than grass.
Right. One of the things that you hear the word like artificial turf, astroturf, and people think of like green carpet with line spray painted on it. It's more like synthetic grass.
Okay.
So there's actually, I can talk about this for hours. I won't waste your time, but it's a very well established industry product, and it's permeable, so water flows through it. So we're not going to see water pooling out there. It's not going to impact. It's only going to improve the drainage in that area.
So as a probably the only one here with a kid that's in baseball. No, my kids are in baseball and softball. I'll hit this one by one. Pony field, absolutely like it, as we discussed. I think it's, you know, we tell folks that we're experimenting here, and if it's like, then we do this. And I do think it's going to end up being cost effective because you can replace it less and you can use it more. So I think that needs to be part of our marketing. The walking loop, I think it's an ingenious idea. If we're going to have to build a sidewalk, you might as well make the whole thing go around. Courts, we discussed that. We can move later on. Drainage needs to get done. Water cap needs to get done. I will echo your comments. We have to remember, guys, by saying that we're going forth with this today, we are not letting the neighbors say, no, you can't do this. So what we're telling the neighbors is, hey, look, this is our property. We're going to fix it. We want to work with you. It's going to be loud from time to time when you redo it, but you know what? That's just the way it is. But we will get negative feedback from some of the neighbors that think it's good enough as it is, and they don't want more traffic, and we just need to be aware of that. But we are all holding hands and noting that the neighbors do not have the ability to say no, right?
Well, that's the problem with an accelerated thing. And this is we got boxed into that corner before.
Yeah.
And it's hard to give up the money when we've had such success with the grant. So I'm not saying I don't want to go for it. I just think that what you're saying is we're concerned. You know, look, they're gonna talk about this is gonna be an issue, lights are gonna be an issue.
We don't have lights here.
We don't have lights here.
So, but they're going to think, anyone who thinks you're doing construction, they're automatically going to think lights, parking, noise. I mean, we know what's going to come up. And so I just think as soon as we get notice to them, as soon as we can have that public meeting, which sounds like we're doing it as soon as possible.
Yes.
So we're going to be prepared for some negativity here.
Yeah, you'll have that. And my question is, I always ask, how many meetings do you need to make them comfortable? Because it's not like major change here, so we could schedule three meetings.
No,
and listen to
no.
We have the time to get other people to know about it.
I would vote for a letter. And we'll have to vote on it. It's your decision. I think a letter. I think signage. And I think one meeting, because you give people too much of a voice, they're going to think that they can stop it. And that was one of the things that we had a challenge with at booth. This is feedback that we've heard from the community time and time again. If this field needs attention, the pickleball, which isn't going to really have an impact there. The big thing that's going to have an impact is the sidewalk, which I think is going to be better. And people are going to get frustrated by the construction.
Yeah.
We see that all the time. But these are also neighbors who literally 180 days a week have cars lined up at 8:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And at 3:30 p.m. And so they're somewhat
useful.
So that's that. But I want to complete one more thing. Thank you for the neighbor thing. Just let's think about, as we discussed previously, where you're going to place outhouses. Because I think if you're going to have people using this more and more, you need to think about, you don't have to answer it now.
So they're currently right here.
We have outhouses there now. That's where they are right now.
Just think about where we're going to place them.
So kind of hide them there, right by the tennis court, so they can use it and the baseball field can use it.
I think Michael makes a great point, Lisa. Historically, we know what the challenges have been with athletic field renovations. Lights, permanent outfield fence,
right.
And there's going to be a discussion about parking along Cherry Tree Lane. So the biggest issues that we've had in the last 6 years is illegal parking on Cherry Tree Lane, which the village has now properly has changed the signage on, and that issue is no longer happening.
I made that to be there once or twice.
There was some... There wasn't a lot of greatly great negative feedback with the construction of the playground, but with the geothermal wells, there was some resident concern about the length of construction. I don't see
this. Is it geothermal?
Yeah, this has geothermal, and the school has geothermal, which kind of limits some of the extent of what we can and can't do. Yeah. But again, I mean, I think we don't have the funding for lights, and we know that as a multi-use field, it's not going to have a permanent outfield fence. So we've eliminated really the two biggest, I mean, Lisa, would you not agree?
I totally agree, and so we're going to put that directly in the communication.
Yeah. No lights, yeah. No permanent lights.
Just want you to know, no baseball lights, no permanent outdoor events. Yeah. And
we expect the hours of the field to be the same as, you know, they are
historic.
Yes. I think the more that we focus on updating rather than renovating, you guys will be in better hands. Like, we don't have to, I don't think we should talk about the new water fountain. You have to have a new walking loop, but I would address it as, you know, a new sidewalk. A new sidewalk and replacing some of the other stuff. The more that we can focus on, I think, renovation rather than brand new, you'll probably get be better. Then again, I am horrible at predicting people's.
So we'll make sure the communication includes right up front. Yep. Hey, this is there will not be these. So you don't have to, you know, we're not looking like for fancy dugouts, and we're not looking for baseball. They want that. We're going to say no. You might have the other side that's saying I want that, and we're going to say no. Up front, those are not even in the mix.
We do these little charts that work for our millions of members that still don't read, like our customers here. What's included? What's not included?
Yeah.
And that sometimes is very helpful. Like, and then what's included is, you know, updates to the field, updates to the tennis court, updates to the sidewalk, updates to drainage, new water fountain, new sidewalk. What's not included? And then you put all those things in there.
Yeah. I like that. That's a great approach.
Very,
we'll do that.
Very, and they're very easy to read, and they can see what they.
Yeah.
40 size font, less words.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that it works for 100 million miles plus members. I'm glad it works for our 7,000 constituents.
And, you know, also having this, like, picture like we did, you know, this was hanging downstairs when we did the trail. And so people could see the progress. They could see when the plans changed. You know, putting this up there as well. And then, you know, we know from that we had a lot of meetings for many years, and we still have people who said they didn't know what was going on. But we know we did our due diligence.
Yeah.
We will do the same here.
Yeah.
And so we could deal with that because we know how many meetings we have. We have a document.
Awesome. So go ahead and start.
And once we apply for the grant, just like lots, we're still going to have community meetings on that. If that will continue to occur, or they'll be welcome to purchase their meetings.
Yep.
So what we usually do is we just tell everybody, you let us know if you want to be on the list for this project, and we'll update you via email every time the board talks about it. Okay.
So, can I ask a quick question?
Yes, Lisa.
First of all, thank you so much for saying right out of the jump you're going to say there will be no lights and there will be no actual tents because I lived in the Wild Wild West. Years ago, and we were in Brooksville, and that was the first enormous amount of difficulty for us. So if we come out with that right away, that's good. And actually, the walking path is very attuned to very many people. And it's a quiet, kind of truthy sort of thing. So I don't think you're going to get in trouble with the one room for the person that you're suggesting. Quickly, we sort of have, I'm not hearing anything perfectly, but Michael, I do think you said you would be dealing with one meeting. Right now, we've got a look at someone practicing saying there's two meetings planned. I think that seems sufficient for me. If that is what they're willing to do, to gain us an opportunity to actually physically meet together and discuss this, that's fine with me. Is that still the plan going forward?
Well, our plan was one, but we could do two. We could do one at the July board meeting, so a couple weeks from now. But they would not see any drawings. It would just be us talking about what we plan to do. And then hopefully by August, either August committee meeting or the board meeting, hopefully the concept drawings would be done. And that would be another option to do it. So we could do two by putting one in the board meeting 2 weeks from now.
And I think that might be a sort of a strategy. I personally don't think anyone, you know, this is a very reasonable contract to do with the renovation. It's use the public space and make it more useful. But if there is a constant kind of refrain, you're not listening to the neighbors, this would give an opportunity to kind of expand our platform for listening to neighbors. So I would be fine with us including that in the 48th of July.
Okay. Sounds good. Anything else? Bart, do you have anything else?
No, it's great.
Okay. Michael? Stephanie?
No.
Lisa? Okay, well, we're gonna full steam ahead now, so thank you. Okay, the next one is discussion on the Healing Heart Sculptures. So I was approached by CAC, Children Advocacy Center, and asked if we would be part of their Healing Hearts movement by displaying a heart sculpture in front of either take a building or along Connect Life Hope by Duke Playground. So CAC serves 38 communities, and their main purpose is services for children and families who suffered abuse, so child abuse, whether it be sexual, physical, mental. That's what they really do, and the purpose of this campaign is to shed light on child abuse, and so people understand that these services are available. So I did talk to Bill at Family Services of Glencoe. He is very well aware of this organization, and he would partner with them. He has partnered with them in the past to give more. That's their specialty. So while Family Services doesn't handle that very much, they would defer to them for resources to provide the family healing. We also talked about whether he thought it would be a more appropriate place someplace else in town to put this heart sculpture, and he agreed, oh no, but the Park District has much more visibility for families. So if we want to raise awareness that these services are available, Park District would be a great location for that. Currently, there is a sculpture up at Northbrook Police Station. They have one, and this heart would be the only one on the North Shore this year, not to say in the future they wouldn't do that. The sculpture would only be up for 6 months, and then they would take it down. The pad it would be on would then be repurposed to probably a pad for a bench or something of that sort. While there is a fundraising component to this, obviously they're trying to drum up awareness, we would not be part of that fundraising. So we're not going to put this out on social media about the fundraising aspect. We will do it for awareness, but not anything about you can donate money to this cause. If people feel willing to do that, they can do that. We don't pay for the sculpture at all. That is funded by a different donor. And so really the only time it takes is staff time, which is my time right now, and then maybe some of Chris's guy's time just placing it, making it secure, and then doing safety checks. So that's pretty much it. I put all the other information there, so I'm here to answer any questions for you.
So all this is a heart-shaped statue that says, was there going to be a plaque on it that says something?
It'll be a plaque on the bottom of it, so it won't even be sponsored by. It'll be on the bottom of it.
What is the wording of it? The wording's not going to ask for money.
It just says it's donated by such and such, and then CAC is the ICC Center. So,
got it.
Yeah. So if someone sees it and they go, what is CAC or Children Advocacy Center?
They can go look it up themselves.
They look it up,
they can walk away. They can donate if they want.
Right. And, otherwise it just... That they also can be aware of this, which to me, if I just find one, if one person realizes this is a resource for them,
right.
One person gets that benefit, whether it's even in their family, maybe they know someone, I think it's worth it. Bart asked a very good question. Do you ever do other like fundraising or awareness things? We do all the time.
Yeah.
We did the Frank Lloyd Wright sculpture here about seven or eight years ago. We do... A lot of car washes and bike sales and dog events. We usually just, our procedure, we don't really have a policy on it. Procedure is it Glencoe community related is one portion of it, or if it's centered around children or animals, seems to be. So we don't always do everything, but those things are important to our mission to do.
I'll say that I don't have any issue with it. I don't know if other board members do, but I think it's fine.
So as someone walks up to it, and I saw the depiction, and it's just a draft, but they see the heart, and they see butterflies, are sort of a kid thing, and it says CAC on it, but is it, and so, and I'm a big believer, yeah, like, you know, helping people who suffer child abuse or avoiding it, yeah, so it should be a priority. But is there, will people know what this represents when they see it, or just says CAC?
It would be a CAC and then the name of the artist probably, and then okay. What they named the heart sculpture, similar to the Frank Lloyd Wright, where they had who donated it, and what the name of it, like, you know, whatever. And
would it specifically say that it related to helping people with child abuse?
I think they put Children Advocacy Center on it.
Okay, that's it. So
and then they can Google it if they want.
Okay. Sounds fairly minimal.
So it isn't like someone sees this and then they go, wow, that's, you know, that's related to child abuse, or it doesn't change.
If they did look up the website,
they have to look it up. They wouldn't just wander.
I don't think it says they're
reacting. Wouldn't say help by child.
It probably said this is our Healing Hearts campaign.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay. Yeah. My concern with anything like this is, yes, this organization, you know about it now, but you just never know with any organization what can happen. I mean, someone steals money. Someone does something, you know, it's just, to me, our going forward as well, like, you bring in any kind of political message or any kind of other thing that you support, people support so many different things, and I just don't want us going in that direction where we're getting into a situation where we have to defend someone's mission or beliefs. To me, it makes me a little uncomfortable. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, they've been active, and I agree with you. I totally agree with you. If they were only around for 1 or 2 years or 5 years, or Bill Hansen didn't know of them, I'd be questioning it too. They've been around 30 years. They've been sponsored. They start their initial charter was sponsored by DCFS and United Way. So they've been backed by organizations that have been around for a long time. Them themselves, this chapter has been around for 30 years. So they're not someone that just came in and doesn't have the resources and the backing of this.
I think we also have the challenge here, Stephanie, that if that's really your belief, then we better stop giving money to GHB and to Family Services of Blanco.
But those are directly related to the mission of the Park District.
I'm not certain that Family Services of Blanco is directly related to the mission of the Park District, right? I think we have to figure out, you know, we can't vet, you know, every single organization that we donate money to, but I'm not against your idea, but I do think that if your concern is people stealing money or the political messaging, then we better be really careful about giving money to anybody, whether or not they support, the mission of the Park District. So it just has to be consistent there.
I'm not disagreeing, but those are community-based organizations, and I think that's different. This is not a Glenville community-based organization.
Child abuse happens everywhere, right? This community helps support people.
I'm not saying it.
It's
not like I'm like for, you know, not supporting it. It's just, look, it happens all the time. I can name 5 different examples. I'm going to give you an example of why this concerns me too.
Sure.
It just happened 2 weeks ago. So in Buffalo Grove, where I grew up, the village is very supportive of the Gay Pride organization that is very active in the community, this one particular organization. And all the representatives went to the parade, did everything, and then they turned against everyone at immediate support, but you can look it up, there's a million articles on it, because they didn't want to raise the flag on public property, because then if someone else comes to them and wants to raise a flag that they believe in, there would be an issue. And the whole community turned against them. So they tried to do a good thing, and then it turned around on them. So all I'm saying is if you support, this is one thing, but if we're going to have this whole other thing where we're going to let groups submit things for 6 months at a time, I just don't want to go down that road where we have to, you know, have all, it can get, I just think it can get very
I agree
with this. One of the 38 communities here, one of them.
I think you have that problem with everyone. GGHP could have a problem with, let's say, a pride parade, and then we have donated money to GGHP. Like, I don't disagree with you. You're absolutely right. There are risks that you take with these things here. But I would be very cautious of the precedent that, you know, we have to be careful with who we give our money to. If we believe in the mission, and we believe
we're not giving any money.
Well, right.
It's just it's on our but it's on our property.
I get that, but we are in fact we're showing support for, and so I don't have an issue with showing support for a well-established entity, just like we show support for GJHB, which is probably more directly impactful to our community. But I'd be cautious to say that, you know, we have to worry about every single. Should we stop having the American Red Cross do their blood drives here because of how the American Red Cross deals with things? Like that, it's right. Just, we have to be really careful about the question.
I thought about that. This is just my opinion. Yeah. I believe that it can get messy.
When you say it's not a community, they do serve Glencoe.
Yeah.
They serve 38 communities. Glencoe is one of them. Just because they don't serve just one community doesn't mean they don't serve Glencoe. They provide services for children in Glencoe who have suffered child abuse.
No,
and
it's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I totally respect their opinion, but I just want to make sure that we think about what that opinion means going forward.
All right, Lisa.
Just very quickly, could you elaborate a little bit on the connection of this with a person that with there is a relationship to kind of random and how to do it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think that's useful in kind of the same way when you look at this.
Here's another one.
Sure.
The main sponsor of this program and probably how they got our name is WT, which is a company in Park and Rec that does many services. Engineering, our ADA transition plan was done through WT. They have many different spinoff groups, and we use some of them and don't use the other ones. So they're a big supporter of Park and Rec, but they're also a big supporter of children's causes in general, and they chose this after long vetting to be the main financial sponsor of this organization for this Healing Hearts campaign.
Could you frame this decision that we made tonight around your larger idea about the sculpture committee and how we might look at things, once the 4 to 6 month period is gone and the heart goes away?
Sure. Well, actually, with this, and also, I've been thinking about this idea, and I haven't thoroughly, it's not ready to be presented. I'm going to wait for our new special event guy to get all caught up and to speed. But when we started doing Connect Glencoe, I've been at other communities, and St. Charles is one of them, and I'll reference them, and you can look it up, because that's probably the closest one to us. But this is a concept that's done around the country, where they invite artists to put different sculptures in their parks that, and they're usually around pathways so that people can come and learn about art. Art is very central to one of our park and recreation's missions at the recreation outlet for a lot of people, our classes, our ceramics, our whatever. So they invite artists to come in and apply to put their sculpture. And it has to be a certain size to be able to withstand outside for a 4 to 6 month period in the parks. At no cost to the park district, they bring them. The cost is that the park district puts them on the pads, and then move them on the pads, but they pay for the shipping and everything. All the sculptures have to be available for sale in this scenario, and that if they're sold, 30% of that, or 25% or whatever the board decides, comes back to the park district as a kind of a commission to do that. So not only do we beautify our community with art during the summer and springer months, but it also is that good. St. Charles, for example, if a piece is a really big hit, they will buy one, and they have a couple every so often they buy one for their parks as a permanent fixture in the park as they develop their art portfolio. So with that said, if we wanted to do something like that, we would definitely have to form our committee so that we make sure and have,
so that we really vet each piece. And it's not only on the looks of it, but it has to be family appropriate, but also if it can withstand being in a public park and people climb on it, little things, you know, if it's a little point, it will get broken off and things like that. So there's a lot to vet and to talk and go see that, but it's an idea of just something to bring art to our community and a more formalized approval process, because we don't think that happened with Breakaway. The sculpture was just donated. We want to make sure in the future any permanent or temporary art gets funneled through a committee a board member for sure, but I know there's people in town. I know the library is doing a presentation with someone who's really involved in public art, you know, ask them to be on the committee and things like that. People that know more, our teachers, our ceramic teachers and things like that. It's kind of a different, so I'm not really ready to present that, but
it's almost like, but I see that
it's kind of a different thing.
You see art in the park, or park art, or
right, a little bit different than that, but
it's different. I see it somewhat tied to it, but I see them as different. I'm not,
right.
I like the concept of us thinking about what art in the park looks like.
But that's something.
That seems like something kind of different.
But we should definitely do a committee so that way people, if there's any issues in the future, that we have those resolved. So this is more about: are you okay with putting this heart out front to, you know, either I probably would think it would be in front of Take-Up, maybe in front of Children's Circle, or you know, or by Woodlawn, but Children's Circle makes a lot of sense in front of our ELC doors. Or in that area. So that's rather.
So if I understand you correctly, you're saying you would put it here. This would not go in. It would not go in a park.
Well, we could do it wherever the board wants. I think it makes probably more sense to put it here or Take Up in front of the early child building.
I like it in front of. I like it in front of Take Up because it's higher traffic and look. You know.
Yeah.
Honestly, if who knows if there is any, God forbid, child at Take Up Center. That, you know, a nanny drops them off and a nanny's doing the child abuse thing and didn't know what to do. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe this is the place I can call. If they see something, I'd be nervous if it wasn't a well-vetted organization, but it sounds like a well-vetted organization. Their mission is, you know, Glencoe's involved. It sounds like a good thing. I am perfectly fine with you guys putting it someplace where it can hopefully make a difference. And I don't really want people being solicited for money, so I like the idea of just a simple plaque saying donated by, or you know, on display by so and so.
Yeah. Okay, when the next person comes to us, when that one's gone in 6 months and says, well, I want to put my sculpture there.
We are going to have another conversation.
I'm surprised that we're even having this conversation. This to me does not seem like it's a board level discussion. This to me seems like it's almost like what you said before, Stephanie. I thought that you said it so well with the lights in Cock Park. Like, if it's a problem, we sort of know about it. It becomes a problem. And so I don't think Lisa Shepherd, and I hope the staff, doesn't want something controversial coming here.
No.
So they will do their best to prevent it. But if it, like, to me, this is no different than the American Red Cross doing a blood drive here. It's the exact same thing. So I'm okay with not having the board make these decisions. And then if there's a problem, then maybe we bring some of these things to the board.
Well, and I have no problem bringing it to the board. That's why I threw a Friday update and said, hey, if you have an issue, want me to bring it to the board, I'll be fine too. So I have no problem bringing future ones to the board to be vetted, you know, because our name is on it.
Right.
This one, I think, is very, I did do a lot of research. I did talk to Bill Hanson. If he'd never heard of them, I'd be like, but he did. He uses them as a resource. Yeah. He goes, I think that's a great thing. He goes, you're not stepping on my toes at all. The more we get the word out, the more people get out, the better it is. And that's not our, we do counsel on that, but that's not our specialty, and we do refer to this organization. So.
Just very quickly, I'll probably start one question. If awareness is our objective, I'm fine with it. But if there's an issue somewhere other than the Children's Circle entrance, because that's a very small demographic, given the size of the community, and that maybe it should be considered for this kind of future thinking idea that we might have a sculpture along the Central Connect, and that then would be seen by more people and a wider variety of people. That's just my two cents. But I'm also going to say, I totally place this organization with the American Red Cross, and then I think there's a whole different thing, like apples, and it's very
favor of Chris, but that we must be careful going forward. I think we're going in a committee that's absolutely illegal. Should we consider any other installation in our color space? And I do know that that sculpture, that large sculpture on Deco Connect, at that time, if someone wanted to donate something to the president, we just accepted it, or the district, I was the president, just accepted it. It's a quote, move to your wife, she said you need to have more of a system in place for that. So I think that was all the problems we've talked about in the past.
Yeah, I like it, Mark.
Capital Committee, so that's it.
So, yeah, there's clearly different opinions here. Mine is, I walk in Glencoe Connect pretty much every day, and I walk up to the end, and sometimes I'll walk over past Booth Cottage. And the park, what I get out of that park, and Cock Park as well, is similar to what I think people get out of the Botanic Garden, and I guess, well, they're very different. And we have a lot more programs here, they have a lot more flowers there. But as I walked through there about a week ago, I took pictures of like all the signs and all the promotions. And one point was everything they have there, every sign, every program, everything, it relates to them. So they're not bringing somebody, anyone outside, they don't get representative. You know, we're different, I understand that. But when I walk through the parks here, like I wrote down, there were all these, there were a whole lot of different, I don't have right here, a whole lot of different signs. And I wrote them out, but I just kind of looked at keywords. And it was, you know, some said like butterflies or celebrating the beauty, but there were words that kept recurring, like nature, fun, relax, linger, restful places, pause and enjoy, quiet contemplation, walk, energize, rejuvenate your spirit, reduce stress, and increase your sense of well-being. So that's what I think of in Glencoe Connect or Cock Park, maybe not the sports field. But to be honest, I don't get that feeling when, and I'm concerned about incrementalism, which I think is what Stephanie's talking mm-hmm. about in some ways. I see the first sign of incrementalism being like the book stands, that, and I don't know the history of those, but in Duke Park, it's kind of turned into lost and found. There's a lost doll on top of it. And, or if you go over to the Lakefront Park, like the front door is missing. Okay, it's the hinges are kind of hanging there. I mean, they're not well maintained, and it's sort of like, well, we have the book stands, and then we do Booth Cottage, but I walked by there last night, and now there's an ADT security sign out in front. And I don't really, that doesn't fit with, you know, what I'm seeing at the Botanic Garden or what I want to hear. And then you start to put a sculpture there, then there's a lot of great causes. The second largest cause of childhood death is suicide, you know, so then, and I hate that, but it doesn't fit in with the peaceful area of the park. If you want to put a sculpture here at Takeoff, and I agree with Michael, to get more viewership, higher visibility, I think that's fine. But I think in the park, one, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they try to put a sign in front of it, then there's more description. And I think then you get more and more statues. There isn't that much room for statues here at Takeoff. I would say, I would be in favor of doing it here, but personally, I would not want to put it in the linear park over the plants.
I agree. If you're going to do it, my preference would be to do it here. Not. We have a lot going on there. We've already have a lot, you know, mm-hmm. of disgruntled neighbors. So we're going to put another thing there. To me, I wouldn't.
So I just need to, I guess, consensus if you want to go ahead with the hard care take up.
I'm fine with it, Lisa.
Bart?
I'm fine with it.
So it's just to move to the next step?
Yeah.
Okay, and we're deciding where it goes.
We are. Like, the question is, are you okay with the heart at Takeoff?
Yes. Yes.
Because
you know my favorite,
so.
Okay.
Very
funny. It's not, obviously,
okay.
I can't vote.
I
vote.
Right, I mean,
you can abstain. It's okay.
It's just not a formal vote. It's consensus, because you're not going to vote for this, but thank you. Thank you for the well-thought-out conversation. All right.
other business, I just wanted to make, and Chris and I were talking about this earlier, make you very aware that how popular Duke Park is. And with popularity comes issues, right? So I want, you weren't on the board, but you all were, bringing it back to when we were building this trail and are thinking about it, you said, hey, remember, with this amenity, the spray fountain, the train, we're gonna have to spend more money. Well, we have our little interactive fountain is so popular, we have an activation button, but it's going all the time. Mm-hmm. I just want to prepare you that the water bill will be high.
Yeah.
So just know that. We have done things like, you know, lessen the water here and there. We might have to look next year about closing the hours a little bit, but we're looking at about $30,000 water bill.
For that part already.
Wow.
Wait, 30,000, what?
So we're projecting for the season, if the trend continues, somewhere around $30,000. So,
it's very popular.
Is it mostly the spray or is it a little thing the kids are doing?
We've turned it down as we've gone. So we started up and we had the manufacturer's presets, which were unbelievably awesome. But we burned through a 50-meter swimming pool's worth of water in about 3.5 weeks. So we started incrementally turning it down so people wouldn't feel the loss. So we're projecting between $25,000 and $30,000 water bill right now.
And that's what's shutting off at
Labor Day. Season.
For the season.
So effectively an annual bill of $30,000.
So we'll shut it off at Labor Day, it'll be done. Yeah. It won't continue. Even if it's hot, it won't continue. The good thing is the beach is making up some revenue, so that's good.
Well, and that's a hot start. So we adjusted it once. And we started to see it come down a little bit more where we were comfortable. We've adjusted it again. So the challenge is the water bills. As you know, we were just hoping to send it to somebody on Vernon.
I was going to say, I know the finance person knows the water bills very well, both now and historically. So
they're obviously quarterly. So it is likely that if the bill may come and have to come to the board level, which is not something the board is used to seeing, right?
So we just want to make you aware. So we'll continue to watch it, but we kind of warned you that this may happen. The other one is the train cars are so popular. It's great. We love it. The villagers have a great time working with our parks team, fixing them. So that's a good thing too.
I know exactly who it is. Yeah. I see them there because I go there at night and I watch them.
Yeah.
And I want to like call up their parents, but then I don't want to be that dad.
Oh, I go up to them.
Yes, and
I'll give you the name of the
someone that's doing community service, his father made them, so that was kind of funny. So, what really we're getting complaints about is the squeaky from one neighbor in particular. So they're really squeaky. Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
So right now we don't put them away at night. We don't do anything. So Chris and his team are working, and they're even calling the Metro to figure out a solution. So stay tuned. But in case you get a call from an angry neighbor, we know they're noisy, and we're trying to figure out a solution.
Can we go back to the fountain? Don't make it less fun. We don't have a pool. It is what it is. I mean,
they won't even notice it. Yeah, no, we won't do that.
Okay.
We will close it Labor Day, and we will look at the hours of operation. We'll bring it back after the season's over and talk about the hours of operation and operationally how this park's going. But it's good. It's
such a shame you can't recycle the water. So,
but that would be a lot
more
money.
Are you figuring out a way to recycle the water?
Well, we figure out how we're going to pay to do it, and then yes.
But listen, I wholeheartedly agree with Stephanie. We do not have a pool. It's a really hot summer. Let's not be penny-wise, pound-foolish on this.
And that is true. It's been hot, very hot summer. Yeah. Not a lot of rain days, right. It was nonstop. So, just remember that. It's not always like that. So congratulations to everybody.
Congratulations.
So, it's very, very popular.
People still aren't, a lot of people are back to the regulars. Activities and stuff, but not everybody.
Yeah.
So maybe next year, more kids are going to camp.
We think the younger kids are using it that don't go away to camp.
Yeah,
so
you see more strollers there than you do at Toys R Us.
Oh yeah.
I would recommend that next time we do this, and I'm actually not even joking around.
You go to the bathroom?
Well, what we could consider is that if you want to donate, you have to pay part of the operating costs as well. If you're the donor, it'd be very kind of cool to see if we could have gotten that in there.
We were lucky to get what we got.
I know, we're lucky. I'll react to that one.
And then we should build a bathroom. I know they're expensive, but that would have been the place.
Bathrooms are expensive, and they add a whole other concept to you want to see neighbors get
Crazy. I know.
She's making noise.
You want a sculpture in there? Imagine that.
No, I know, but
we know, but yeah. So.
Or well, if, when we were doing that, we still thought that that like little house was going to go in with the bathroom.
Oh, no, we weren't. It was past that. It was a dead.
That was like, I feel like it was at the same time.
No, it wasn't.
In my mind, I thought that that might occur and we'd have that bathroom.
But that was so far away now, though. I think that was a dead deal by then. But anyways, bathrooms are more.
It is an issue, though, so, as you know.
It is.
If you look at the cost per visitor, it's actually not that high.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because I go by and there's 30 kids, 50 kids.
Oh, my
gosh. Huge number of kids.
Pennies.
And on a low number, it would work out to like $6 a day per person or something like that. But it's less than that. There's so many people. Yeah, there's so many people.
Look, I think you summed it up right. This is one of those things that it's, we have to let the community enjoy this. And by the way, it's also new, so I think it is a little bit of shiny new feature to it that people go to. I think you'll see it die down a little bit. Not a lot.
I love it, personally.
Yeah,
it's a playground site, known to man, so people are coming from all over.
There are kids that ride their bike from Winnetka.
Yeah.
Oh, there at night. But
wow.
Yeah. There's people that are coming from
Chicago. Better than Hubbard would.
Yeah.
Way better.
I heard people are riding their bikes to Virginia, and they stop by the one.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. What did you say?
Do we have to pay when we fix the trains every time? Or are we going to order parts?
It's part of our shirt. We all have to pay for parts for that.
We've actually made some modifications and improvements in the train cars already. So there are some components that are just getting worn out. So we are having to order parts like we would for any piece of playground equipment. That's just coming out of our operating budget. The improvements that we've made to the cars have kind of eliminated some of the damage we were seeing from bumping and things like that. So for the most part, really the only major issue that we see with the train so far is the desire to get into the shed for whatever reason and the squeaking. So we took the doors off the shed for the time being, and now everyone can see that it's not Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing good in there. And we've arranged some special patrols of public safety, and they're supporting us with that. So on the whole, it's really, we're just hearing a lot about squeaking. So as Lisa said, we were able to make a contact with Union Pacific, and they were able to advise us on some ideas that would help with that. So stay tuned.
Is it camera for the sheer thought of deterrence a possibility?
Yes.
I thought we had one over there.
We
saw the GPS.
We have GPS on the train cars with geofence, so if they leave the site, we get alerted. We have done trail cameras. If we have like a hot spot where somebody's hanging out or somebody's repeatedly vandalizing the same area, the challenge with trail cameras at Duke is that there's so much traffic there that we burn through the memory card in a couple of hours.
But I'm saying just do it for after hours. Like, that's probably when you have, if you have a challenge. Oh, first of all, this is your area to think about, so, and you've obviously thought about, but my thought would be between, like, you know, 6 p.m. and 10 p.m.
We typically avoid the cameras because of the expense. Typically, at a park, what you're securing with the camera costs more than what you're securing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, my only, even,
just
you know that ADT sign that you see? There's a heck of a lot more than the ADT security itself. You know, just the, this premise may be
put
by cameras. You put a camera there, it can open up.
Well,
you
can't
ones.
Do that.
You
there's
can't.
Liability.
Oh, you can't. Yeah.
It's big time. Yeah.
Feeling a safe.
I don't know how to do it, but
there's liability in putting a camera.
Yeah.
You have an onus if you put it in to have it working. So.
Yeah.
Just real quickly, Lisa, you're saying that increased patrols from public safety and neighborhood awareness make those calls when they see something.
Correct.
Is more efficient and a practical way of managing
them.
Correct.
Got it.
And okay. I do go up to the kids, but it is really annoying because they just smash and go off the
They're
track.
They're 8th and 9th graders, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
They have talked, the public safety have talked to them many times because we had one child
like, he said, who else was with you? And he kind of named everybody, and his father called me, and he's doing community service for us, because we didn't charge him anything. His father wanted him to do community service. It's good parenting.
Well, there's adults doing it, too, just so you know. Right. My son will send me pictures, and I'm like, don't send me these pictures, because I don't want to know what you're doing. And they're on the train.
What's going to happen is they're going to ruin it for everybody.
Right.
So that's what it. If they break, then they're not out there, and then that's it, you know.
Yeah.
So. One other thing for other business, we can do now. We're not going to executive session for this one. Take this one, pass it around. Take one, pass it around. Oh, I should probably hand it off. I'll read it off.
We can all, we're a big circle here.
Okay, so if you, Lisa, I'm sorry you don't have this in front of you, so you have to follow along.
You
have
about it to
the campus. No, we just, yeah, just
okay. We can share here.
No, you can use anyone.
Don't worry.
So if you recall, in September 2020, we talked about negotiation for a sale of a little piece of property, 310 mm-hmm. South Avenue, if you remember, that little piece of property. Do you want to pull it up, Chris?
Yes.
And the board directed staff to begin negotiations at $100,000 for this, and Mrs. Dusso rejected that, and countered with 30, we rejected that. So we countered with 50,000. She thought it was crazy, and then she offered a counter of 45 for the property. I would say it would have to be within our legal fees too, but I don't think see that here. So the question is do we want to sell that piece of property for 40,000? Chris, can you fill Bart in on that,
whole,
please?
I was here, I think, when you presented the first time. Is it that whole
yes.
strip?
So
behind all three houses.
So it's white houses.
Let me pick this up here. So to Lisa's point, so this is Park 11S, this is South Avenue here, Green Bay Road.
Right.
So this piece of property is currently was an abandoned alley acquired by the Park District in 1933. Ms. Dusa owns all four of these properties.
Oh, she does. Okay.
She does. Currently, the garages of these three properties are already illegally encroached onto the parcel. It's not available for public use, which was part of the original premise as to why the board considered entering into negotiation to sell it. I believe the parcel is 1,621 square feet, of which 302 square feet, 18%, is occupied by residential garages. So at this point, what this effectively is a tax-exempt backyard. So this piece of property is a currently zoned single multifamily residential. It is not a buildable lot, nor it currently does not appear on our publicly available park property matrix maps, nor have we been maintaining it.
There you go.
If she does tear down all those three, which is a possibility, and builds a multi-family unit,
she
will still come back to us.
Well, here's the deal. She can tear down those and build it anyways.
Right.
There's no saying that. No stopping her. She has enough property to build whatever she wants on those.
I think, you know, I will go out there and say that I have historically been against the sale of usable land for the park district. So, for example, I know there's other parcels, Lisa, that I won't mention here, maybe in the shape of a three-legged shape.
Uh-huh.
But that one I see is a little bit different. I think this one, I'm really struggling with this one here because it's not, you can't even access, a member of the public can't even literally access this today.
Right.
And given the fact that a member of the public can't access it today, and that in the future, I don't see this as ever having any good public use. I am okay with us moving forward because it's constructed on, because it won't be missed by our residents. And I do think you're absolutely right, again, Stephanie, that if there is a controversy here later on, someone's going to come back and tell us this, but I think we have a defensible argument in that there's already construction there and the resident could do what they need to do anyway, and we're going to take that money and we're going to make our parks a little bit better because they have a little bit more water in Duke Park because of that. So I reluctantly am okay with this, but it is reluctant.
This parcel,
so,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, so I'd like to correct something you said. You said it's zone single family. It's zone multifamily.
No, she said they can do it today without...
Single and multifamily, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so as I look at that property, it's one of the big building in that whole strip is 450 Green Bay Road. It's three-story, I don't know how many units, multi-million dollars. I mean, the property's got to be worth well over $1 million. That property is worth a lot less without that strip in the back. I mean, four pieces of property, and you're going multifamily, it makes it more valuable. I think if a developer was going to take it over, like, they would come back and renegotiate that. I mean, worst case, we're left with something where we say, okay, when you build the property, you have to tear your stuff down here. But I think it's worth, I don't know, I suspect she wants to buy because she wants to build a multifamily property there, and that's got a lot of value. But I don't know how to get the last dollar.
It involves the setback and the floor area calculation. So the larger her lots are, the bigger the building can be.
Yes.
And the further away from the street on both sides she can be. So if she acquires this property, it will mean that the setback will be part of the backyard. It's currently a utility easement, so there's going to be no... property butted right up against our property, so it's one PIN number, and I think to forecast that she's going to put a multifamily structure on this is fairly accurate. I mean, you're not acquiring this just so you don't have to knock down three garages.
I mean, the question that Bart, you're absolutely right. You know, in paying $50,000 for this, $45,000, or paying $50,000 from this, she is probably hoping that they are going to get, they're going to be able to make their structure at least $100,000 NPV worth more in value.
Correct.
And you want to get $99,000 of that.
No.
And I don't blame you, because so do I.
No, well, there's what's it worth and what can we get, and what's the timing that you would actually do it.
But think about the math here. You've got 1,600 square feet. So her lot becomes 1,600 square feet more. And I think it's something like you can use 60% or whatever your lot. So you're talking about this unit is going to have 60% of 1,600 is 32, 40, about 1,000 square feet. So he or she, whoever's going to do this, is going to get that much more out of it. I don't know. I mean, we sit there and do the math and figure out, hey, look, if you get 1,000 more square feet, can you rent that out for X, more units and figure it out? We threw out some numbers beforehand.
We did. We counted with 50,000.
I mean, you're within 10% of it. If we went with 50,000, that's the most that we can't. Save face and go back and say we want 60 now, right?
We could say we want the 50.
You absolutely could do it if you want the 50. But I think first we have to ask ourselves, are we still okay selling it?
That's a great question. When's the last time we sold something?
We sold the living house, the old director's house, last year.
Okay, which is an actual house.
Yeah, on a lot next to a park.
Okay, right. Okay.
And it stayed a house.
Thank goodness.
It stayed the same house, but we did have to go and rezone it, and we did have controversy with
that.
What about
it was a sellable house. There was an asset on it, as opposed to this where there is literally no asset for us. The only asset is what this...
Well, there is an asset. I disagree. There is an asset for us. We have a park there, and we're in the business. We're the park district, and... I don't think we're going to be getting any more park property should that strip just be added on to the park.
If you want that part of that park, you're going to have to pay money to get those garages torn down and make it part of the park. And so we have a vested interest in that as well.
Can you go back to the...
So they wouldn't tear them down to get their stuff off.
Why? They're not.
Well, it's obvious they did it. That the majority of the garages were on their property.
Technically, we could do that, but we're not.
We're not going to do that.
Because
we don't know in the past if a board or someone gave them permission.
Right.
This goes back probably 50, 60 years.
But that's what I'm saying, legally.
But if you want, I perfectly am okay with a 45. If you want to go back and say 50. I think it's as high as we can go without Because we already told him first at 50, like it'll be a little obnoxious. Although we can say market's value has increased since we went back to you in September.
Or we can say what Sparta is doing and saying, you know what, I'm not going to do anything right now.
Yeah.
If you have a builder that you're going to build with and wants to come back and give us another figure at another time, I mean, that's an option too, right?
No, we can do anything. Lisa, did you have something?
Yes. Let's just take it to the conclusion that we don't sell this strip, which I think in my head I'm seeing as somewhat inaccessible little strip of land.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think I know it is from my previous ago. What did we choose not to? The little houses that are there go down, something else goes up, whatever it is, we don't know. Does that strip of land that is no longer covered by the garages, the boats over here, that strip of land now becomes part of our responsibility to care for it, is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, we could say since your building's on there, you still have to continue to maintain until it gets torn down, then it would go back into ours, yes.
But we maintain the park next to it.
Yeah, there's a park next to it, 11S, which is like a triangle-shaped asset. There is a park there that abuts it, but there's a big tree line.
So
at some point, they put a big tree line in. So once, if they're going to go rebuild, they tear out everything, you could say you have to tear down that tree line, too, that's on our property, and then we could access that to the park. That's what you would have to do. There's a really, really heavy tree line.
Arborvitaes,
yeah.
Oh, I thought those were ours.
They are.
Those are our trees, or they?
But they were probably put in by the homeowners.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
Right?
I would imagine they were put in by the homeowners at some point. Yeah.
They're on our property.
They're on our property.
So right now, there's a row of trees stopping that from becoming our property, so it would be a little strip behind the trees. So technically, what you do is take all those trees. If you want to make it part of that park property, you take those trees down and replant them on that piece to get an extra little sliver.
Or just
cut down trees and then have a strip of land coming out of the triangle on
the
property that we would then maintain.
Once the triangle property we already maintain. We do maintain that. It's that strip of property with the garages we do not.
Yes. Got it. Okay.
I guess the third
decision to Stephanie made a point that I think is valuable is the decision to wait until the developer is going to move forward with this. They're either going to go, they need to know whether they're going to have this physical property as part of it or not, right? So they almost kind of have to put an answer.
No, we don't know what we can't read her mind. We're assuming either she's going to develop it herself or she wants to sell the whole thing and get more money. Obviously, there's a motivation for her because at first she was insulted with the Maui Ash, and she came back, so she realized that she can get more money with that. So let's be honest, she can get more money if she has that little slip of land. How much more? I don't know. You know, it really just has to decide. The Park District discussed this. Bart wasn't on here, but that's, I guess, the risk of her waiting so long because we have a new board member. We countered with 50, and she came back with 45. So, we decided we want to sell the property now. We just want to say no, we don't feel like selling it now. We're going to wait, and then they can come back with a higher amount or whatever. So,
is there any other property that we would anticipate like this selling that we go, hey, someone's going to come to us about this piece?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Okay.
We have little pieces that come to us all the time. We have little pieces that, probably historically, and people would donate pieces of land to the park district, and they would take it no matter what, wherever it was. So we have little isolated parcels throughout Glencoe right now.
So as you look at that piece of property, it doesn't, while it's next to a park, there's already trees, whatever, you don't look at that and go, we could somehow make use of this. It's something that has no value.
It has no value to the park district.
Adding
that little sliver is not going to add to the recreational benefit or passive recreation of that park at all.
And if there might be value, there certainly is none to that last strip by the third house where you're wedged between two different houses.
Right. Yeah. Looks like someone's backyard. Yeah. We have a lot of those, unfortunately.
Some worse than this.
Yeah, some are worse than this one. You know, this isn't even our worst one.
Do we have flooding in that park? Is that one of the ones
we have? We do not. We do have flooding in the park across the street.
Yeah.
So that's one of our biggest offender spots is the south of Green Bay location across the street from that.
And we said it'd be at least 50 to do any make any kind of dent in that water, right?
Yeah. I don't think we're looking at draining a park like South and Green Bay like we're draining Cough. We're looking at putting a drain in the low spot, and you know, if it improves it 90% of the time, that's much better than, you know, Cough is a much different story. I think, but looking at a $45,000 number is a great place to start in improving that park. Whether it's going to do it or not depends on the scope we determine.
And can we say we earmark it for that so that we're kind of trading?
Yeah, you can absolutely do that. Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. So you say you could use that money, that money in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
we get a lot of complaints on that issue.
But it's going to be that plus.
It's not going to be, 45 won't cover that drainage, though.
Well, 50,
right.
I think
we're
going to 50. I've spent a lot of time on the phone with this lady, and I think if we
you spent $45,000, you're getting there.
Yeah, probably.
I think, you know, realistically, $45,000, I think, was about $43,500 more than she was hoping to pay for it. So I don't know, you know, I can always go back to her, obviously, with the board's direction of, you know, $50,000 or broke. But I don't know, you know, I think in her mind, as far as the business relationship, I think she's looking for some give and take, because I think to her, the $100,000 offer was, you know, not realistic. And I think we initially had that thought, and then we brought in a realtor, and they gave us some advice on what square footage was worth in that area, and we used that advice to come back to the $50,000. So I don't, you know, I'm not the no person, but I don't know if coming back and saying full price or bust.
Is it 45 plus legal costs?
No, it was 45 all in.
So we have to take legal costs, which could be close to probably
4,500.
Probably 5,000 by the time you figure my time. Yeah. I go downtown sit in front of the judge. So I'm talking 5,000.
No, she did not.
But we can say you have to pay for that, which means it's 50. We should have to pay legal costs on this. We're not going to get a benefit, right? I mean, you want to pay legal costs on that?
I mean,
because we have to do legal costs. We have to have public meetings. We have to.
I would say you add the legal costs in and you say that's the deal, or take it or don't take it.
You have to give her a number for legal costs. So,
about 5,000. So
I think what you're, what I hear you asking, Stephanie, is that you say we will, you know, we will accept $50,000, and you pay no legal costs. You pay no, we pay our own legal costs.
We could say $45,000 plus legal costs, not $5,000.
I'm fine with that. I'm also fine with this $45,000 for the record, because I do think that we're like, you know, there's something to the time value of money and having to deal with this and going back and forth and negotiating. It's like,
true.
We're having our cake and eating it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so about you, Chris, as well.
Well, I mean, look, if you think about the stuff that we, I'd much rather have Lisa and Chris spend time on this OSLAD grant than have to spend time on where we're going to put a statue of a heart, or where we're going to, how much money we're going to sell, if we're going to get an extra $3,000 out of this land.
But like, you have to make the phone call anyway. You're going to be on the phone anyway. I don't feel comfortable justifying us paying the legal costs.
So are we willing to lose it over $3,000?
Well, I just can't justify paying the community that we're paying the legal costs for her.
They're willing to lose it because we're giving them money enough, so it's not.
And if they don't want it,
they
don't. Yeah.
Does that sound good? 45 plus legal costs, now $65,000.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that the board. I have to phrase this, that they said the board sees it challenging for us to pay legal costs on this thing, so I think we do that.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Since we didn't charge a rent for how many years, I'm just kidding. Okay.
You didn't know you were a landlord.
No, we didn't. So funny. Okay.
So we're saying if this closes, then the money would stay.
It would be in
that neighborhood, either in that park or something, right? And so the neighbors can say, hey, it is like you got money and then you just went.
The neighbors won't even know that it was not purchased from. They assume it was that owner.
Okay.
Okay. All right, that's it. Cool. That's That's all I have.
Do you have a session?
Nope, we don't. We just, I was able to get outside of it. So
I entertain a motion. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So you can say all in favor. Oh, second, then all in favor.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Seconded?
What?
Who seconded?
Sorry.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all.